get you out, oh. We make you a cup, we let you a mandra. Shoteu sasidio. And the presidisma, ya. We want you to the presidisma. Hip, 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 hip. A get the uso. No sopo loco, get the uso. No sopo loco.
Klaar voor de arts, die adrenaline kick. steeds verslaven. Net als op jou aan de heroïne zit. De klok tikt door, tijd om te slapen. Dan blijf ik maar gapen, de zon breekt door. Achtervolgd op mijn toekomst, zo'n drang naar morgen. Daarom ik lig wakker in mijn bed. Mijn hoofd vol met gedachten. De tijd ik langzaam door. Slapeloze nachten. In de zon breekt langzaam door. Mijn ogen reeds gesloten. Denk al als ik slaap, ben ik even weg van al mijn dromen. Maar ik heb slapeloze nachten. Slapeloze nachten. Lig alleen in bed. Denk alleen om morgen. Mijn gedachten maken me gek. Mijn hoofd zit in de toekomst. Mijn lichaam in het nu. Staar het naar de hemels. Blijven dromen in de buurt. De
zon breekt door. Sterren aan de lucht, dat is ons decor. Planning van morgen, doe me nog steeds voort. Over wat ik kan worden. Wat ik kan worden. De zon breekt door. Sterren aan de lucht, dat is ons decor.
Lig wakker in mijn bed, yeah. Mijn hoofd vol met gedachten. De tijd ik langzaam door. Slapeloze nachten. In de zon breek langzaam door. Mijn ogen reeds gesloten. Denk al als ik slaap. Wil ik even weg van al mijn dromen. In de slapeloze nachten.
closer with your pan. Let we have a cool conversation. Mr. Pan is playing me some solo, but some of me long time hero. You see the vultures wouldn't remember, then it's me who should get together and praise the artist of first day, who bring we culture here today. So come on and play one for Winston Free.
Yeah. life that we all enjoy here. And many times I've said to Yavar, and I've said in print when asked on issues of race, that Minnesotans need to be comfortable with the face of the mirror. The mirror is changing very rapidly. So we need to have a dialogue on who we are as Minnesotans, as Americans, and really who we are as a diverse body in this community, in this diaspora for many of us. So I wanted to be a part of this, particularly when you said Tim Weiss was going to be a part of this. That's not me. Knocking your bug out, trying to not knock your bug around so much. You know, in one way or another, we all here have been impacted by race or racism in our lives. And we all know that no matter your color, and no matter your background, no matter your ethnicity, even with your own personal identity, that we are all affected by race. And so we know that we're all in this together. We have to be, because it affects our attitudes, it affects our daily lives, it affects our perspectives, and most importantly, it affects the relationships that we have with each other. Just how honest are we in that dialogue about race when we're looking at somebody else who is different from us and still call them friend? When I look around the theater, it's pleasing, especially this early in the morning in Bloomington, to have this many people come out and discuss. It just means that there are a lot of people out here who all agree that this is important, that something is not right. And we need to figure out how to make a change. It's the buzzword right now. It's time to change. So it's hopeful to see everyone here without your concern about where the direction of this country is going. But we've got a long way to go if we're going to live in that community that Dr. King talked so much about, mentioning some of other content, other character. So I'm pleased to introduce our guest speaker. We're very informal today. I'm so thrilled that Tim Weiss is among the most prominent anti-racist speakers and writers in the United States. He's an activist who's trained thousands of people on the methods for dismantling racism and institutions. Maybe it is. Who knows? Let's see. Is that me? Let's see if we can move this mic down just a little bit more. Let me pick up again. Mr. Weiss has appeared on hundreds of radio and TV shows, and he's the author of two books, White Like Me, Reflections on Race from a Privileged Son, and Affirmative Action, Racial Preference in Black and White. He's also contributed essays to a dozen books and anthologies, and has served as an advisor to Fisk University Race Relations Institute. He received the 2002 National Youth Advocacy Coalition Social Justice Impact Award, as well as the 2001 British Diversity Award. Please extend a very warm welcome to Tim Weiss.
Thank you. First of all, I want to say hello to some old friends, several of you who I've, and I don't mean old in the sense of aged, not that there's anything wrong, you know, being aged, but that's not what I mean. I mean old friends in the sense of having known you, Dolores is having a good laugh at that, having known you for quite a while. And I have to say, I don't know why, having heard me speak for years now, you would just keep coming back. I don't know if that's a sign that you're just giving me one last chance to make any sense, and you're just very nice that way, or you actually like something that I said before, you're hoping I'm going to say it again. I'm under an intense amount of pressure to say something new for those of you who have heard me speak for 11 or 12 years now. I think I can accomplish that today. I have some new thoughts to share with you. But I got to tell you, I have absolutely no idea why you're here. And let me explain what I mean by that. I'm not really clear why you would come, particularly in the morning, you know, to a presentation on the subject of race. Why would you come to a dialogue on race? And the reason I ask the question, I don't really mean it just rhetorically, I mean it quite literally, because to hear an awful lot of people in this country tell the tale, to hear an awful lot of media commentators and political talking heads and others, you would think that there was no dialogue on race that we needed to have any longer, that this was last generation's conversation, that this was your grandparents' conversation, your parents' dialogue, but not ours. Because we're not living in that era. We're in a post-racism era. We have the word of the week and the month and the year transcended race and racism. So why would you come to talk about race and racism in a country where there can't be any of that? How do we know there can't be any of that? We know there can't be any of that because a man of color, a black man, or some prefer a biracial man, stands on the cusp of becoming, if not the president of the United States, at least the nominee of his party. So how can racism be a problem in that country? If a black man can potentially become president, surely we're not talking about racism, and God knows we can't be a system of white privilege. If we're a system of white privilege, how can this man of color be on the cusp of potentially becoming the president of the United States? You see, that's the dialogue. That's the rhetoric to which we've been treated in the last several months. We know that we have moved beyond race, and the proof of that is Senator Obama and his presidential campaign. But let me suggest to you that the ability of Senator Obama to reap the kind of support that he has been able to receive from white America, support without which he could not be in the position he is in, because demographically he must receive the votes of significant numbers of white folks in order to be in that position. And the only way he has been able to reap that support from approximately 45% of white voters around the country on a national level, when you aggregate all the different primaries, is because he has studiously avoided the subject of race. This is not, by the way, a criticism of him. He understands the game that he has to play. I understand the game that he has to play. It is not a critique of Obama. It is a critique of the culture in which he finds himself, in which I find myself, in which you find yourself, a culture which doesn't allow the man of color to talk about race, to talk about racism, to talk about discrimination in front of white audiences. It's one thing to talk about racism in front of the Congressional Black Caucus. John Kerry did that. But to speak of racism and discrimination in front of white people is to guarantee that at least some of those white folks will abandon your campaign in droves and will accuse you of what? Playing the race card. He gets accused of playing the race card just for responding to racist comments that other people make about him. So were he to talk about racism, you know full well that that would be brought out and mentioned, just as Senator Clinton can't be the one to talk about sexism. For if she talks about sexism, she would be accused of playing that card, you see. If she shows too much emotion on the campaign trail, she gets hit with that. So we understand that people of color can't talk about race. Women of all colors can't talk about gender. Isn't that convenient? And we're supposed to believe that that proves that we've transcended racism and sexism. What we've transcended is our willingness to talk about it. But the problem remains the same. If this man's ability to be in the position he is in is due to his studious avoidance of the issue of race, that is proof positive that we have transcended nothing. It is proof positive that power still lies where power has always resided. And if you don't believe that his support among whites is directly related to his avoidance of race, go back and read the front page of the Wall Street Journal, November 10th of last year, big article about Obama's support in the white community, in which many of those supporters are quoted, and these are the things they say that explain their support for the Senate. One says, the thing he likes about Senator Obama is that he makes white people feel good about ourselves. I'm fairly confident that was not the senator's intention or goal or aspiration, but apparently he's accomplished it. Another one, the former head of the Democratic Party in the state of Tennessee, Bob Tooth, says in that article that Obama has, and this is an interesting choice of linguistics and an interesting choice of words, he says that he has emancipated white people to vote for a black person. Because you see, prior to Obama, those of us who were white, and little did we know it, were chained and tethered, virtually enslaved to a system of rejectionism, unable to vote for a black person. It was like we could not pull the lever for anyone who was black until now. Now, I voted for Jesse Jackson in 80.
Thank you. Usted está en Cali, ay mire, vea. Si las mujeres son lindas y hermosas, aquí no hay fea, para que vea. Mi Cali se está adornando para su fiesta más popular. Con caña dulce el melao hierve en la paila hasta amanecer. Habrá corrida de toros y por la noche fiesta. Salsa de aquí, con mucho maní.